puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
So remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, last August, I spent a very enjoyable day exploring in the Whiteshell Provincial Park. And there we found several abandoned concrete or steel structures, some of which dated back to before the park was established. And so they will be our subject this week.
Where are we visiting today?
Well, listeners often send me suggestions for future episodes of Abandoned Manitoba, and I confess it sometimes takes a long time to follow up on those ideas, usually because I have to do some research before we can talk about them. Now, many people have suggested that I investigate the abandoned mines that litter the boreal forests of southeastern Manitoba. I had not seen any of them until last year. With the help of longtime Whiteshell cottager Kyle Don, I visited sites near Westhawk Lake, where prospecting for gold began over 100 years ago.
100 years ago! That must have been a very remote place.
It was very difficult to reach. According to a history book for the Whiteshell, prospecting in that region started in the 1890s and active mining as early as 1910. Well, there were no roads in that region, so to get to their mine site, you had to take a train first to Ingolf, Ontario. You would cross the Long Pine Lake by boat. Then you'd portage about a half mile to Westhawk Lake, paddle across to the west side of the lake to a small bay called Peniac.
Peniac? Isn't that a place in New Brunswick?
Yes, indeed. An executive with the company that established mines near Westhawk Lake, a fellow named James Hicks, thought the bay looked a lot like ones he had seen in New Brunswick, so he named it Peniac Bay. Now, the company was named Peniac Reef Gold Mines, and it operated under the name Star Lake Gold Mines Limited. And they were not alone. The area around Star Lake experienced what I would call a miniature gold rush. There were over 100 mining claims registered in a short period of time, and the prospectors came from a wide range of places, including Nevada, New York State, even as far away as South Africa.
Was the mine successful?
Alas, not really. Peniac Reef spent $100,000, the equivalent of $3 million in today's money, to dig a 70-foot deep shaft and build several buildings to process ore and house its miners. From 1911 to 1914, the company milled about 270 tons of ore. That's a lot of rock. It was Manitoba's first operating gold mine, and it produced the province's first gold bar in 1913, and then a second bar in 1915.
How much was that worth?
Well, at that time, an ounce of gold was worth about $20. And a bar that contained 400 ounces, well, if you do the math, two bars then would be worth about $16,000 in 1913 dollars. And remember that the mine cost $100,000 to develop. So this operation was far from being a break-even proposition, much less a moneymaker.
And what happened to the mine?
Like a lot of speculative enterprises, the mine closed at the onset of the First World War, when it became nearly impossible to hire workers because they all went overseas to fight in the military. So jump forward to the 1930s. The Trans-Canada Highway, today's Highway 44, now runs through the area where these mines had been, so access was much easier than before. No long portages and paddling across lakes. In 1934, the Star Lake Gold Mines sold its claim to a company called Sunbeam Kirkland Gold Mines. That company began major mine development south of Star Lake at what they called the Sunbeam and Waverly Mines. By 1938, they had a vertical shaft over 400 feet deep. And in 1940, they started shipping ore to a mill near Kenora that ultimately yielded about 800 ounces of gold. Now, again, to do the math, the gold by that time was fixed at $35 per ounce. That was worth about $27,000. Again, not a huge windfall. And as a result, I suspect no further ore shipments were made. Those mines were sold in 1941.
Did the Second World War interrupt operation of gold mines like the First World War had done?
It appears not, because mining did continue into the mid-1940s. Drilling crews worked 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, they really worked hard to try to find gold. It was a tough job, but they were paid excellent wages. I came across a report that said that they were paid anywhere from $1.25 to $2 an hour. Now, that doesn't sound like much today, but workers at that time could expect to get around 50 cents an hour. So this was pretty good money. But unfortunately, the mine shut down in 1946 due to continuing financial difficulties. And gold was still at a fixed price of $35 an ounce. And I suspect it's simply because the mines were not producing enough gold to be economically viable. But, you know, the exploration in the area for gold did continue into the early 1960s.
Was it only gold that was mined around West Hawk Lake?
Early prospectors had found high-grade deposits of iron ore on the west side of the lake, and they'd also found uranium near Bear Creek, which is northwest of West Hawk Lake. But the main mineral that continued to draw attention, yes, it was gold. Exploration around Star Lake, well, it resumed in the mid-1970s, and active mining took place as recently as the mid-1980s. And in fact, my friend Kyle drew my attention to an Ontario company that is actively advocating today for mine development in Star Lake. And they issued a report, a fairly detailed geological report on the deposits in the area as recently as 10 years ago. You know, there is quite widespread recognition that this is an area of mineral resources. And I think recognizing the richness of these resources in the Star Lake area, the Department of Geology at the University of Manitoba has operated a field camp to train students there for many, many years.
What is the Star Lake mine site like now?
When I visited the area last summer, Kyle took me to a site of the mines south of Star Lake. There wasn't much left to be seen. There was a small, shallow lake where I presume they had stripped off the overburden of soil to enable drilling to take place. And we did find the shafts for two abandoned mines. At some point in the past, the provincial government has covered them with concrete caps. I suspect it's to prevent berry pickers and other sort of people wandering around in the woods there from falling down the mine shaft. One of the caps was very substantial and it was completely intact and it was serving its function. The other cap, however, well, it was surrounded by a metal fence. I think that was good because there was a big gaping hole in one side. And, you know, if a person was inclined to sneak their way in, they probably could.
Were there other abandoned mine sites that you found last summer?
We explored a second mine site about 3.5 miles as the crow flies from Star Lake. It's immediately adjacent to Highway 44, kind of northwest of West Hawk Lake. There we found evidence of surface mining. There were big chunks of rock that looked like they had been blasted from the exposed Canadian Shield rocks. And there were at least two reminders of other sort of former mining activity. One was this absolutely enormous rusty metal object. And Kyle and I looked at it and puzzled about what it might have been. We suspected it might be the remains of a steam boiler. You know, maybe it was used to produce power or steam for the mining operations. But more intriguingly, we found a small concrete box sitting on short legs, fastened to one of these, you know, rocks in the bedrock that had a metal door. And Kyle told me that it was a safe where the miners would store their explosives to protect them from accidental detonation. So here was this little explosive safe just sitting in the middle of the forest, you know, quite inconspicuous. I would have never found it without Kyle's help. I'm told also that there are foundations from some of the early mine buildings littered throughout the area that are visible at various other places around West Hawk Lake. Many people, I think of this area as a very scenic place for recreation. Well, clearly, I'm going to have to go back and spend more time there to I think, fully appreciate what appears to be a fairly lengthy and diverse mining history in this area around West Hawk Lake.
Mm-hmm. So there's a safe just sitting in the forest. I hope that there's no explosives still in there.
Not that I saw.
Thanks so much, Gordon, for digging this up for us.
You're welcome, Stephanie.
And what's up for next week?
Well, there's been a recent development in the village of Elva in southwestern Manitoba. That's the site of the oldest grain elevator in Canada. Now, when I visited the elevator last summer, it was in pretty rough shape and had been put up for sale by the municipality, I suspect for demolition. Next week, I'm going to talk about what's actually happening at ELVA.
Thanks so much. I look forward to it.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.